Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the team 980. Commanders tight end John Bates in 20 minutes here on the show, calling after practice. That's a conversation you do not want to miss. You don't want to miss this next conversation either. We go out to the phones. Our guy Scott Jackson, you can hear him down in the 757 on ESPN Radio 94.1 afternoons from 3 to 7. He also hosts the Believe in Commanders podcast with our guy Anthony Armstrong. Scott, what's up, my friend? How are you?
Good to hear from you, Denton. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Before we get to the Terry stuff, some of your general takeaways from the offseason training camp to this point so far for Washington.
Well, they've obviously, you know, hit a big need with getting the left tackle position and the addition of Connerly at right tackle, if that's eventually where he is, and he's probably your heir apparent at left tackle. I like that part of it. You know, protect your most valuable asset, Jaden Daniels, and then the trickle down effect obviously is moving Coleman to guard. So I did like that. The Debo thing, man, I'm intrigued by it with the way Cliff Kingsbury runs his offense and the way he could fit, and obviously he's clearly motivated and, you know, in the right type of physical condition that he needs to be in right now, from a health standpoint and from a training standpoint. So I think that's been interesting. And, you know, like, just a lot of questions about, Lattimore, is the biggest question to me on defense, what they're going to get from him, because it could change everything if he's anywhere near where he was a few years back before all these, hamstring injuries kept slowing him down. Could be huge. I'm fascinated to see if they can generate a pass rush on the regular. I mean, they got the quarterback pretty good last year, but it doesn't seem obvious outside of the addition of Miller, and we don't know how much he has left in the tank at this point. And can they obviously stop the run? I mean, that's what they have to do more than anything this year. So those are my general impressions. I think they hit a lot of the need areas, but there's still, to me, a lot of the questions remained on the defensive side of the ball.
On that defensive side, obviously Von Miller comes in, as you mentioned. What is your level of confidence in the guy that was here last year, one of the only guys that got a multi-year deal last year, Dorrance Armstrong? I thought he played well at the end of the year. Do you have any confidence in him being able to make that consistent throughout the entire year this upcoming?
Yeah, I don't know if he's the guy you're going to say, hey, he's going to go get 10 sacks or whatever. But I do think there's a consistency level with Armstrong, which I like, so I think that's good. It's just like, what are you going to find on the other side, right? And is this interesting thing with how they're going to use Kinlaw. I'm still, like a lot of people, I think it was a surprise how much money he got, based off of what he had done to this point. Obviously, Adam Peters knows him well. Obviously that should that should make you feel a little bit better about it. That they have a history with one another, so he knew what he was buying when he did it. But yeah, I mean, I think the Armstrong thing, just really the overall front is interesting. How all the pieces are going to fit and where they're going to be, and nobody saw the Fowler season, right? And that happened. So you're hoping there's somebody that's going to surprise you with that kind of year. And the interesting part about Fowler was, as well as he played, all he could find out there was another one-year show-me deal on the market.
Yeah, I did find, and I remember him getting a little upset that deal wasn't here. But that's neither here nor there. Does Terry sign before the first preseason game next Friday?
Ooh, I don't know about that. I think, to me, I've always said, if this isn't, it was more about, my guesstimation, all this was middle of camp towards the latter part of camp, maybe after the second preseason game, maybe more around that third preseason game, just so he would have, 2 weeks in the field, assuming he continues to play this out this long, and I don't know what the level of blink is in him and his side, because at some point he's going to play. I mean, if they even said to him, hey, we're not going to do this year, what's he going to do? Sit out and pass up $15 million? I don't think so. I just don't see that. I don't see that being feasible for him at all. But I don't have a great feeling that it's just around the corner either. I mean, from all the things we've heard to this point, it just doesn't seem like they're very close at this juncture. So I think like it has in a lot of places, this is going to probably drag out for a little bit longer.
So Sutton in Denver got $23 million. We got that report earlier this week from Schefter that Terry might be searching for $33 million. I would imagine the fair price is somewhere in the middle, but what is the number that is there a number that you are keyed in on?
Well, I think the 30 is probably, you know, on average, what it would probably end up looking like for him to feel like he came away with a win. For the team, it's probably below that. The tough thing is, like, is there a way that both of these parties can walk away saying, hey, we both won, right? Like, you know, there was something in it for both of us here. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, who can say face? And then, you know, the tough thing for him is, you know, the team, you know, they can do the reverse Kirk Cousins here. Like, they can use the, you know, they can use the tag to their, you know, to their help, you know, to help them as well, depending on where that ends up. You know, they can also look at it that way. Yeah, but I don't think that's a healthy thing to do by any means. But, you know, it is an option, needless to say, and I'm sure that's part of the haggling that's going on here. I hope they get it done. But I would say, you know, it's probably in that area of 28 to 30 that probably is more likely. Although if you look at, you know, for what it's worth, right, over the cap, spot rack, they have him as like a $24 million player, $25 million in that range. Not at the 30. So it's more of what the Sutton deal is, or more of what maybe the team is even looking at this point.
How excited are you once he is here to see Terry and Debo on that same offense?
Oh, man, that's all, you know, the offseason just thinking about that's been great. And, you know, the truth of the matter, you know, from his standpoint, as I'm sure he's thinking about it, is, yeah, maybe I'm not a, you know, even if I'm not a $30 million player on the market, I mean, for this franchise, like, what are your options, right? Like, you're going to go into next offseason with two guys, you know, kind of like the Cincinnati situation that you have to deal with. I mean, if Debo does what they think he's going to do, then, well, hell, I mean, you're going to have to pay him, right? So then you're going to have to figure that out with Terry. So that makes it a little bit more challenging. That's why it'd be better to get one of these in right now and it makes more sense to take care of Terry. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, Terry being that top-off guy, he's not there, which, again, I don't think is going to happen. I think he will be there. I mean, who is it? Are you really going to think Jalen Lane in year one is that guy? I mean, I love Jalen Lane, but that seems like an awful heck of a lot to ask from a guy who was picked in the middle of the draft. I mean, that's a pretty big ask. And I know he's been running with the ones lately, but come on. It should open up things for him. We know what Debo can do. He gives them a physicality, you know, that they didn't have. I mean, as good as Zacchaeus was in his role last year, and Diami at times as well, with, you know, breaking some of those plays underneath. I mean, this guy just freaking brings a hammer that DBs don't want to deal with.
Hey, you talk about Jalen Lane, like, you're hoping that you can get him just touches on special teams to start.
Well, I want him to be my punt returner.
Yeah, he's dynamic as hell.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe your fourth wide receiver, you know, he could be that. But yeah, I mean, assuming that Noah Brown is healthy. But yeah, I don't. It was just kind of like just the trickle down when you start thinking about it. And I'm sure that's why, you know, Terry's guys probably say, hey, hang back for a little bit longer. Let them watch these ones with Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane for a while when they're rotating guys in and see how they feel about it, you know. Because that's what you want them to think about. Now, again, Terry's a good dude. I'm sure this is killing him on the inside, but this is the business of football, and it has been an offseason full of deals getting done at the wide receiver position.
Scott Jackson, my guest here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dent Day sitting in for Kevin. Scott, how impressed have you been with Jaden in this portion of the season?
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, like I say to people all the time, and a lot of my writer friends get mad when I say this, I think he's great on the podium. They're like, well, he says nothing. I go, exactly. That's what you want your quarterback to do. We had a quarterback here that loved to say everything before, and we have the guy that's the over-talker, sharing way too much down the former quarterback as well in Atlanta now. I mean, watching quarterback, I couldn't believe the amount of crap this guy, you know, reveals. Like, just shut up, you know. Nobody needs to know this. We don't need to know your innermost dark fears. Yeah. We don't need all this crap. You got to be cool, calm, and collected. You got to be like Mahomes and Burrow, you know, and Jackson. You got to project confidence. And, yeah, I'm sure these guys aren't always fully confident in everything. But, yeah, you gotta show that to your team. And he just does that. And he answers it the right way. And he does put thought into the answers. And, you know, again, just hearing all these stories about him with this VR stuff and what he does and, you know, going through everything multiple times, the Peyton Manning comparisons and prep, it's just you got to kind of pinch yourself sometimes because you think about the, you know, the list of quarterbacks there's been here over the last several decades, especially the Snyder era. It's, you know, it makes you want to throw up. It's like you can't win that way, but you can win with this dude. I mean, there's no question you can win with this guy.
Yeah, and his level of comfortability, I think, has been one of the most impressive things, at least to this point in the season. Scott Jackson with us here at Jackson Sports on Twitter, where you can find him 3-7 in the 757 on ESPN Radio 94.1. How excited are you to see – so you mentioned some of the guys in the defensive backfield, Marshon Lattimore potentially getting healthy. I think Mikey's had a great training camp so far. What are you anticipating that week one defensive back rotation is going to look like?
The week one defensive back rotation, well, I mean, obviously you're going to have Lattimore out there. It sure seems like Trey Amos is ready, right? I mean, just hearing all this stuff in the early going, and we'll get to see it. You know, I think a better feel for all these guys when you get to New England next week and you see and hear what's going on out of those practices and, you know, maybe a little bit in the preseason games. I don't know how much we can expect from the real ones, you know, throughout the three preseason games, especially that these banked in, you know, practices against the Patriots and obviously the Ravens as well. But I think, you know, in terms of corners, you know, that's what probably you're looking at. Jonathan Jones in there, too. And, like, Igbinoghene, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day that, like, he's had a very good camp quietly. He's not getting the headlines, obviously, that Trey Amos is getting and Mikey Sanderstreel. But I think, you know, you look at him as well as still being in the mix there. You know, safety's interesting with Martin. You know, is Will Harris going to be able to fill in and seamlessly for Chin, who, you know, had some good and bad? I think he got a good deal with the Raiders. I don't blame them for not, you know, keeping him at that number. But that's the one that's a little fascinating. It does seem like some of these safety players are interchangeable. And, you know, where does Tyler Owens fit in? You know, is he able to push into that, or is he just still on the special team side of it? And Percy Butler, too.
How excited are you for week one? To like put all of this aside, all right, like we're done with it. We're done with the Terry stuff. We're done with all of it. How excited are you to just line this thing up and kind of get back to football?
Oh, very much so. But I'll tell you this. I am not taking the Giants for granted by any. I don't think this like seems like a layup week one game by any. Not that there are such things in the NFL, but you know what I mean? The Giants games are always a pain in the butt. You know, I mean, they are hard games. Usually, even last year, with as wonderful as things are, you know, the second Giants game was a hard win. The first one was, too, with 7 field goals. Their front's nasty, right? Like, their front, it could be really, really nasty getting after it. You know, I don't know what they have offensively, but their defense definitely looks to be formidable with the guys they have up front with the pass rushers and the addition of Carter now. And Dexter Lawrence has always been a stud and somebody that they've really had difficulty with when these matchups. So, that game, week one, I mean, this offensive line, I know, you know, they've given, you know, had a little bit of time with pads so far this week again. Next week, I should say, with New England will be telling. But, you know, you need Tunsil ready, feeling good. You need Brandon Coleman ready. Yadish, you got to be healthy. You know, Wiley, whoever that other guard is, whether it's Algretti or, you know, the fact that they're even keeping the idea of Cosme open kind of shocked me a few weeks ago when I heard that. But anyway, yeah, that week one should be a lot of fun, but I don't think by any means, you know, it's going to be easy. It's going to be a tough football game, and I hope they're ready for it.
Scott, appreciate the time as always, my friend. Always good to catch up. Hope to see you out there at practice one of these days.
Yeah, I'll be up there in a few weeks. Looking forward to it.
That is Scott Jackson. You can find him on Twitter at Jackson Sports. Good enough to jump on with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Coming up next, live from Ashburn, Commanders tight end John Bates. Really excited about this conversation. You don't want to miss it. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with 10 Day Sitting In.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.